For so very long, it's been...
Go on, George. Tell how it's gonna be.
But in the end, the commish only said...
We figured it 17 different ways. And every time we figured it, it was no good. Because no matter how we figured it...
But no matter how you figure it out, I still don't get as much as anybody else.
Somebody don't like the way we figured it. So now, there's only one way to figure it. And that is every man for himself.
When Black Friday comes...
This is the end.
It's the end of the world.
It's the end of the world as we know it.
Or is it now? As a new year hits, through it all, Beaver Nation moves ahead with resiliency and hope.
Sun's up, looks okay, the world survives into another day.
And see clearly now, the rain is gone.
And the way forward goes through, as it must, The Joe Beaver Show with John Warren and Mike Parker.
A number of times I heard these guys' voices over and over and over. Still can't find it.
Can't find it? We can help.
This here's 1240.
1240.
It's always been 1240.
My client says it's 1240.
Yeah. Plus 93.7 FM and streaming live at KEJOAM.com and on the KEJO app. It's the Joe Beaver Show.
Well, I tell you, yesterday I pointed out and we were talking about a number of things. Good morning, everybody. I'm John Warren along with Mike Parker. Talked about a number of things, especially at the outset of the program, about Twitter and breaking news and news and the masses having a voice, which they did on sports radio in 1990, and then started to ask the question, when are we going to settle it on the field? And now here we are today with these Final Fours and all these conversations. And I'm kind of just piggybacking here off of Rome. On what he was just talking about. We haven't really talked about it much on the local level, but anyways, to make that point and to reignite what Mike had come up with back in the early 90s about this settle it on the field thing, then I also said, look, the masses have information to everything, and so they're going to know things before we do. And just as I'm going on the air, and Doc just got here... Just as I'm going on the air, I receive a text.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
I believe you.
With seconds remaining in the open.
Yeah.
And it says, and again, I haven't vetted this. I don't know. This is what it says.
This is a text on your personal phone.
On my personal phone.
There you go. Gotcha. Good morning,
John.
It
says, Velling enters the portal.
Yeah, yeah.
MSU question mark?
Probably.
Now, was that an hour ago? Because I don't move around. I guess someone needs, here's an enterprising thought.
Good morning, John.
Good morning. Some kind of a thing that goes around your neck and it holds your phone on your chest facing you. And then just go to Twitter and then just have it there. And it's a hands-free thing so that everywhere you go, you can just look down. You just
Family
look
Guy.
Down.
I like you, John.
Yeah, just look
Family
down.
Guy. Have you ever, I'm not a Family Guy is one of those almost Don Rickles types things for me. Remember how I've told you, good morning, John, by the way.
Yeah.
It's raining out there. Wet out there today.
A deluge.
Al Pacino walks in to the restaurant across the street from the office in the classic Glengarry, your favorite film, and says, what out there tonight? What out there tonight? Jack Lemmon, huh? And he said, wet out there tonight? And the tone is set. That's how Al Pacino is going to talk. That's how they're all going to talk to one another. What out there tonight, huh? Wet out there tonight. What out there today, John? What? Wet out there today. Yes, it is. That's not going to prevent us from going to Otley's later for a Christmas tree. Mr. Otley, if you're listening, we're coming. We're coming through the rain to find a Christmas tree. So
there's nothing on 24/7 sports
okay.
tracker.
But yeah, it attacks the point. That development wouldn't surprise. I'm just going to sit here and say that wouldn't surprise me at all if what that texture says to you
would
happens.
Anything?
Nothing. I got a text from Matt Fricky 2 months ago about Jonathan to Michigan State, and I was almost dismissive about it. I said,
really?
Matt, thank you. I'm not going to accept saying that he's interviewed, that the four can't. I remember there was some sort of Spartan Illustrated or whatever that said he'd interviewed or he's one of four candidates for it. And I remember just thinking, what? How do they know? What?
How did they not get here? And it probably did, but become a bigger thing here.
Well, I mean, because I chose not. I didn't want to give, A, I didn't want to believe it. B, I didn't want to give it too much credibility or validity. It turned out to be true. So that's why some of these texts and things, and Matt Fricke, a friend, and the family, kind enough to say, Mike, did you see this? And is he leaving? And I remember writing him back with all due respect. I said, Matt, I don't know who Spartan Illustrated is or who these people are. I think it's possible that it could be true, but I hope not, and I don't have time to take it up or search it out. It's not something we're going to, midway through this season on the Joe Beaver Show, say, hey, Spartan Illustrated says Jonathan's off to Michigan State or is a candidate, highly coveted candidate.
Right.
That is not something, even if we felt it might be close to being 100% true, that we would take up in the course of a season.
Especially
with Jonathan
when you're
as the
in one of your
coach.
Best seasons unfolding in front of you. By the way, it's Daschle that reported that.
Yeah, and okay, so Daschle says it, and I've been expecting it. There's an article in the Athletic today, and we've got a lot of things to get to in open phones. One of the things that it breaks down the position groups of all the players in the portal.
Mm-hmm.
Tight end, they said, is noticeably lacking. Well, they've got a good one in there now, evidently, according to Nick Daschle. So I've been sort of expecting that because I do think Jack, talented, good, was somewhat beholden to the players are who come to programs. Yes, they oftentimes will talk about, I fell in love with the campus. I fell in love with the town. I enjoyed the atmosphere and the quietness. But oftentimes, as in Aiden Childs' case, you're recruited by a coach, a coordinator, a position coach, and those are the people that you are, in a sense, committing to and beholden to. Even if you're told, well, you know, coaches and all that may change. Now, these days, you can just change right along with them.
Yeah.
So in the past, there was at times a cautionary note. Make sure you like the university you're in and the major you're in and the community all of that, because it's a volatile profession. This is years ago. There would be some even wisdom in the advice of commit to a place in a university, not so much to a coach, because those coaches could leave you at the drop of a hat and move on. Well, the players are just as free to leave now, more than ever before.
Right.
So you can just go with that coach to wherever he's going.
And this is all within the last couple of years. I mean, we were literally going through this all together at the same time. This year, different than last year, I think, tweaked in several ways. It's just, it's all like, wait, what?
Right.
You know, the idea that it now, especially with money involved now, the NIL.
Exactly.
The stars that are going to get into the hundreds of thousands of dollars, the stars are literally just, everyone's a free agent, but they're just free agents, and they're just going to go wherever they want. Question, what happened to, you can transfer freely, but you can only do it once?
Well, that is still the case. I think there's another caveat to that, and I'd have to read the language, and our listeners know it better than us, as they know everything better than we do.
Yeah.
That's why we get texts and thank people for it, and we hope to get more texts and calls. We're just here as facilitators, it feels like. Well, what do you want to talk about? What's happening on social media? I think if your coach leaves, then you're free to also go again.
I think. Because
the coach that you signed leaves.
That opens up for everyone.
Right, I think that's the case. Look at that.
Oh, my goodness.
See, now you said something about she brought me a cup of Jameau the other day.
You are wonderful.
She brought me a cup of Jameau, and you said, where's my hot dog? And here she is. And she brought me nothing.
Well.
She gave me water.
It needs to get fair. It needs to be evened up first.
She gave me water.
Look at this.
Which, again, anyone who gives a cup of water, that's one of the sweetest moments in the history of film. She gave me water.
Thank you, Nina. You will forever be.
I'll carry on thinking about Charles Lawton.
Charles Lawton. Oh, that's an ugly man.
No. Charles Lawton is a beautiful creature in She Gave Me Water.
He wasn't he one of the monsters, too?
Well, and it depends on your point of view.
He was the monster in the ship movie. What was that movie?
Mutiny
on the Bounty. The original.
Played it well.
He did. He was
Hunchback
terrible.
Hunchback of Notre Dame is what I was thinking of.
That's right.
There was a film, Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid, where a brilliant concept. The movie's not great, but a brilliant concept where Steve Martin, I think Carl Reiner might have directed it. They patched together movies, old scenes with James Cagney and other actors, and put Steve Martin into the film, dialoguing with them.
See, I never saw it, because I grew up, and that was it. I never saw it. So you're telling
it
me
has
now
some
what
moments
it's about.
Of amusement. Well, you know, he have Steve Martin say to James Cagney, "Now just say this over the phone," and so it's, and then Cagney would repeat the line from the old film that he was in.
Right, right.
But at one point, Charles Lawton comes in front of him in a scene and says, "Do you know who I could be, Mr. Rigby?" And Martin looks at him and says, "Hunchback of Notre Dame."
Okay, I got to watch
moments,
that movie.
Good line.
I'm going to watch that movie because I've never known what it was about.
Yeah, it's
I never
okay.
saw it as a
it's
teenager.
Not, it doesn't hold. Brilliant concept with some amusing, bright moments.
That's funny.
But not great, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Good morning, John. Welcome to the Joe Beaver Show. Now, getting back to what out there, what we were getting to.
Oh, it's just, it's a free-for-all.
Yeah, the news of the day.
The coach being able, if the coach leaves, you get another year.
Yeah, I think that's the case.
Well, it's got to be here because
Brian Wozniak, the tight ends coach, and Jack had a great, so I wouldn't be surprised if that's where he ends up. He's in the portal.
Well, now wait. Okay.
But
so
Woz is back there and had a great relationship with Jack Vellen.
So then are we, okay, then I ask this to you. Are we then at the point, and have we been for a long time, I'm naive to this, that everyone just goes with the coach wherever they go? Or you're really only going to a school because of a coach?
I think that's always sort of been the case.
I guess my spirit is very old because I just thought that you would, of course you have relationships with your player coaches. Absolutely you do. But once you get somewhere and you're going to school, I know this sounds ridiculously naive to where the world has come, but that's just where my starting point is you're going. Yes, the relationship, but once you get there, you're making other relationships, aren't you?
Yes.
You're becoming part of the family, aren't you? You're going to class. Of course, again, no. Everything's online now. You're living in a dorm. No. Everybody lives in apartments, and it's classes online now. it's amazing. There's loyalty is completely gone. Staying somewhere is completely gone, and I think because of this changeover, we're going to lose a lot of older coaches. Because they just absolutely cannot wrap their mind around the freeness with which players can just come and go.
Well.
And we're several years into this now.
So what you say about Jack rings true. Doesn't surprise me at all. And Aiden Childs is another who spoke so highly and on a certain level. We felt good about the nature of the relationship that Aiden had with Jonathan and Brian, right? Jonathan Smith and Brian Lindgren, that he would be, he clearly, and he is a prominent feature today in The Athletic in the quarterback portal room. And in fact, there's a photograph of formerly our own Aiden Childs talking about how he, entering the portal, transformed the market. I mean, he's a hot name and person in that portal, which speaks to the great job that Jonathan and Brian and the staff did in recruiting
him
here.
Yeah.
But he made it very clear, I'm coming because I love those coaches.
Right, and he did recently.
He reaffirmed that.
Several weeks ago when he said about the relationship and what and how they treated him.
Yes, he was honest.
They
were honest with me.
Yeah.
And none of this is terribly surprising, and there's probably more things along those lines to come.
Yeah.
More players who committed to some of the people that have left, and we just have to kind of brace ourselves for it, and I don't think, in any way overreact. Or there's a slight difference in that because of what Jonathan and his staff had time to do here over the years, they built relationships, they built the program up to a pretty high level, so that the portal giveth and the portal taketh away, so maybe now we can comb the portal. But it strikes me as you know, some of the coaches, as good as they are, being there are certainly relationships that some of the new coaches in Gundy and Kyle DeVan and people, you know, that and any other of the new names that will be coming in who have built relationships with people that we might thus get on our own. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, Gundy had this kind of relationship with that person, or Kyle did too, or whatever else.
With them at bigger programs at UCLA.
But we don't know exactly how that's going to look and work, right, at least right now. And there's no guarantee that Jack and Aiden end up in the East Lansing, but that's the likely landing spot for them.
Yeah, and we're suffering from the benefit that we had, and that is that Smith and his coaching staff were so good at the relationships, they kept guys here. So until now, we didn't lose anybody.
Yeah,
it was the second fewest losses in college football.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, now that they're gone, those guys want to go with them.
It speaks well, too, and Trent Bray said this very thing himself. He said, you know, in all of the angst and frustration and anger and bitterness and rancor and people, you know, kind of piling on Jonathan a little bit for the manner of his exit and all of those things, Trent was careful while speaking about, I want to be here, and leaders step up. And they don't bail. And it didn't sit well with me to get on a plane when I thought about our young men and I want to step in an hour of need and lead. He also was careful to say, it's all about the players. And then I asked him about the player relationship that he observed with his father having barbecues at his house in the Washington State days and so on. That he, at the end of that answer, said, and I want to credit, you know, he said, you got to give Jonathan credit for building a culture here where players understood that they felt valued, and it was more than just football. So that's the same sort of relationship that will help Trent retain some players here at Oregon State on the defensive side, some of the young corners and some of the Easton Mascarenhas, Arnold perhaps. I mean, there's a tremendous linebacker and player that I'm sure is just going to, he's got all kinds of things coming at him.
Yeah.
He will, just as Omar Spates did. Yep. You can read a lot of different things about that. But I think Trent being named at the time and the relationships that he's built will help
keep
retention.
Those guys,
the retention rate won't be as high as it was because of the big upheaval in Jonathan and leaving and taking staff members with him. But Trent is in the process of building, I think, a similar culture about the place, about who and what Oregon State is. He knows it. DeVan, Gunderson, also part of it. Kofense Stain, Anthony Perkins, great position coach and recruiter. These guys know the territory and know the place. So the staff, halfway built at this point, will add other members that I think will be dynamic recruiters, people who know the place and can build. You're going to lose some people through the whole. If you praise the relationships that are built, then you're going to lose some on that end when those people leave. And it's almost a credit and a compliment to what they were doing if players go with
them. You're right. I wished.
I know.
I guess with NIL money, I'm trying to think how I would coach my own son. I would not say that I would tell him to do the right thing and eschew any money. I wouldn't do that. I would say, do the thing for the money. But I would also say, go where you think you can get some pretty good money. But don't try to hold out and go several times for even more money. Just settle in at a good rate and then stick it out and be loyal and do all the right things. That kind of a thing. Unless there absolutely is a coach that recruits you and you got to be around them. You have to be with them, which is the case here. Now, the problem with the Trent situation, it's not a problem. It's just that because it's new and because a bunch of guys left and are taking guys, theoretically, there's a dip. It has to be a little, we have to give him time to rebuild that.
Exactly.
And
I believe he'll be the right person to do it
in
his own way.
Yeah.
But there will be some losses here and there that we cannot, I think, lose too much sleep over or overreact.
Merle sent us Merle Jr., I guess, sent us the transfer rules. It's pretty clear. Can only transfer once without sitting out, no matter what.
No matter what, even if a coach leaves?
Well, no, it goes on. It goes on. Transfer again with getting a waiver from the NCAA. And he puts parenthetically, I agree, because I've seen it happen with Oregon State players. Very convoluted on how those are approved. Can grad transfer at any time for a graduate degree?
Yes.
You can enter the portal at any time if the head coach leaves.
There you go. That's it. So
that's
so,
how, and the example is JT Daniels. He transferred three times, USC to Georgia, Georgia to West Virginia, and then West Virginia to Rice, and never sat out.
Incredible world.
I know.
And it is the world that we live in.
It is.
As the Killers would sing, it is the world that we live in, and here we are. Let's take a break to say that we have open phones and text the rest of the way. So what else is, you know, what did Romy used to say? What's popping Twitter? I mean, if somebody said that years ago, what's popping Twitter? What's popping on X? You've already brought us that from Daschle. What else is popping in your minds and in your hearts on this rainy Wednesday, giving fair notice to Mr. Otley? We're coming. We're coming to get a tree through the rain later today.
You got another one now?
Go ahead.
All right. John Canzano tweets this.
Yes.
Civil War football game is on for 24 and beyond. Oregon State and Oregon finalizing deal. Ducks versus Beavers on September 14th at Reser Stadium. P.S. Texas Tech will play at Wazoo in 2024. What do we care? And he's got an article on, quote unquote, Operation Preserve the Civil War, and that, of course, you have to subscribe to.
Okay.
Which I do, so I'll read it.
Okay, so, according to John Canzano, and that's, you know, we always have to couch everything with according to Nick Daschle's ex, so-and-so's in the portal.
Uh-huh.
According to John Canzano, the rivalry series carries on in a non-conference game, September 14th, Reser Stadium. Now, I don't know if that, you know, that's probably accurate. John's a good reporter.
Sure.
And we've been hearing things along those lines for weeks now.
So no surprise.
So that strikes me as that's probably true. It's going to happen.
And that's your third Power Five?
Washington State, Oregon. You got a couple more to go then.
Two more.
Yeah. Are you on board with that, Beaver Nation? There were some of you that said traitorous, horrible, awful.
Most people on this show.
Yeah. So, if you really feel that way, it reminds me a little bit of the, and we hope you don't do this, the old hockey, I don't go to hockey games to see fights. And yet, when a fight breaks out on the ice, the few experiences I've had, the adrenaline, everybody's up, everybody is on their feet, everybody's yelling, everybody's watching the fight, and then don't do that and sit back down and say, yeah, I hate all the fighting in hockey. I'm not going to go to games. I don't go to games to see fight. Well, if you really hate it, then don't go to the rivalry game on September 14th.
Well, that's true.
Will any of you, on principle, you're talking to me. I ain't going. I'm not going to buy tickets.
Especially if you're such a diehard Beaver, you've had season tickets for 100 years, and you're now saying, on that one, I'm not going.
Right. Are there any of you in that category? I hope not, because season tickets are going to be rolled out. That's going to be part of it. I know the ill will and the rancor. I know. We hear it. We feel it. We live it. But if that's the case, how do you feel about it? How do you feel? Well, I'm asking today with this deluge of rain and news every day, what are your thoughts about that potential development?
Okay. All right. I'll just make this point. Doug Blair made a great point. Dougie, if you're out there, he says, and I agree with him on this, there's a lot of people that are so mad at Oregon, they just say, no, we've already got several tests.
Yeah.
But keep that rivalry alive as long as it's fair. By fair, meaning the Beavers are still considered Power Five, funded at the level they always have been, and the recruiting is at the same level. If in the near future, and this hasn't happened yet,
right,
that there is a merger and there is kind of this is where you're going. It's all we could do kind of a thing in year three, because right now we have a two-year grace period. If by year three something happens, and I don't think it will, I know that the powers that be, Scott Barnes, are saying and going and working towards rebuilding and being a Power Five, Power Four, whatever many there are, and being a player amongst all the big schools, not going down, quote unquote, to the Mountain West. But if for some reason it was a you fought the good fight, and you can't make it happen, and you do have to go down. Then, in Doug's words, the fairness, if you're not funded, if it's not fair, if you're at a different level,
I hear that.
Then don't
play
the rivalry. Then don't play the rivalry. But if you're always at the right, at the same level, in theory, they're always going to have Uncle Phil. If you're always at that same level, then, yeah, keep it going.
Colorado and Colorado State and other schools have played one another at different levels through the years.
Well, think about it. If you're not, if you don't have the same tools they have.
I know. There would be choices to be made and decisions to be made along the lines that you and Dougie are alluding to. I get it. But, you know, anyhow, it looks like, according to Canzano, and I think he's pretty well sourced, September 14th at Reser. Does that move you? Like, okay, yeah, I mean, I hate him, but. It's an important game for us. It's an important game for us to come and compete and win. And it gives you an opportunity to continue to make your own. Yeah. Hey, we're not going anywhere. We're a Power Five school ourselves. And watch this. We'll show you on September 14th. You know, I mean, is there any argument along those lines for you? 497-5356. We'll take a break. You want to react to that? Anything else? We'd love to hear from you. Open phones for most of the show, not for lack of trying. I've got several guest requests out, and we just haven't hit. Getting to the Holiday Bowl and getting in touch with Greg Dalby, the two almost impossible things in our shared lives. 497-5356, but we're trying with Coach Dalby and somebody as the Beavers get ready for the College Cup. Love to hear from you. 497-5356 on Joe Radio.
You've got to ask yourself, should we?
So Iowa and Iowa State is a good example. I thought of them. They did, apparently the rivalry was put on hold for a long time.
Oh, the government required them to start playing again.
After nearly, according to a texter, and I don't know the history of it, I'll defer, but 25 years or so, they didn't play each other because of disparate levels of play. But then Iowa State and the Big 12, in theory, is in the same realm as the Big Ten.
You know, when you're first learning about sports and you pay attention to the games and scores and stuff. So I was in my 10, 11, 12 year old, 13, early teens, high school, whatever. I always wonder I don't understand why Colorado and Colorado State aren't in the same league like Oregon and Oregon State are, and the same for Iowa State and Iowa. Sure. I always wondered about that.
Yeah. It's a good wonder.
I mean, how you could be, you know, two big schools and then complete. It just was different than what I had known and grown up with, which was Oregon and Oregon State in the same conference, and Washington State, and that was just weird. But as it is, they've renewed. Well, they haven't renewed, but Colorado and Colorado State have been playing, as you say, every year.
I'm not sure they've missed. They've kept that thing going.
Usually in Denver, and a great game this year, so that's kind of a big deal, but. Strange times. On the question of, okay, are you going to go? Are you going to go if you are dead set against it? And I'm getting a few. Glennie says, well, if you go, give me your tickets.
If you don't go.
If you don't want to go.
Yeah, if you're boycotting that.
Give me your tickets. Yeah. Another person says, buy the tickets, then not go, and don't give the tickets away.
So that if indeed that news gets affirmed and confirmed and reported by Oregon State sources, what Canzano's reporting, that an agreement has been struck to continue the rivalry series. Does it say, does John say how many years, or just two or one?
I haven't read the article yet.
September 14th, 2024, according to Canzano. And we don't have details yet. But let's get to Jeff in Corvallis. Merle is on deck. Open phones, your reaction to that news and the daily portal news. And just how you're kind of rolling with it. Are you fretting it? Are you just, okay, we're going to be pummeled here and there again. We have been for months. But when we come out of it, we're going to be all right. Jeff in Corvallis, welcome to the Joe Beaver Show.
Good morning, guys. A comment about the Civil War. I'm glad it's going forward. And I don't think that, you know, the words fair and football rarely collide in the same sentence at any level. And there's been a lot of years where when I was going to school here, we beat the Ducks, what, 7 or 8 years in a row? And I didn't go here that long, but I was I was here. Yeah, I was only five. But anyway, they, you know, it was that. Was that unfair to the Ducks? And then we had 27 or 28 really bad years, and they beat us pretty much all the time. And they've always, since Knight came into his wealth, they've always had way more money than us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been unfair for a long time. I don't look at fairness. I would delight more in the Beavers next year, them having a power four or five. The Ducks having a non-conference loss,
right,
would just delight me that early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
And forward, we've won the last two at home. They've won the last two, their last two at home. I think we've got an even enough playing field that I want it to go forward. It's good advertising, even if it gets out of whack. Frankly, it's going to be a good payday for us when we're playing in Autzen. And it's national exposure when we're going to be playing the Ducks, no matter where we play them. So I'm all for it, and delighted that they lost to Washington. Made my day. Wish Washington would get suspended for cheating or something so they couldn't go, but that's a whole other issue. Anyway, thanks for letting
Thank
me
you, Jeff.
Just belt out a few things, and go Beavs.
Good talking to you, Jeff. Thank you. 497-5356, any reaction to an X or an article on the Bald-Faced Truth by John Canzano, pretty well-sourced, who's reporting today that an agreement has been struck to keep the rivalry game going.
In the little tweet synopsis of Texas Tech playing Washington State, that I'm reading the article, that has to do with moving aside to create an opening to play Oregon State.
The whole Boise State thing had to be worked.
Right.
And this is all partly why an official schedule has not yet been completely fully announced. Sarah Alcano addressed that yesterday. We want to see it soon. Everybody wants to see it. Season ticket renewals. But does this news compel you and lean you more in the direction? Ooh, okay, well, this news about them from down the road coming up the road to play at Reser next September, is that for you an incentive and a boon to get your season tickets renewed? Or, like some on the text line, almost the opposite. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? And Jeff touched on a number of good points, including he's talking about, as long as the game benefits you, if it's a payday, if it's a money day, if it gets attention to the program and eyeballs and so on, and he's also right that the playing field has not been level or fair probably since 1995-96 with respect to Phil Knight's influence down the road since then and into the current era. And he, apparently I've heard or read that he's built stuff into his own will, if you will, for lack of a better term, that commitment will be honored and continued.
Smart of him, because some heirs will just shut it off.
So in that sense, the playing field hasn't been level since then. But I think, John, your point is that the teams have always been on the same footing from within the conference and the distribution of television monies and rights. And yes, there's been disparity for a long time in the rivalry. But if the gap isn't – your concern, and Doug's perhaps in raising the point, is through the years, if you don't get yourself – settled in into sort of the same status you've had all these decades as a Power Five, four entity, then the gap could widen, and therefore maybe it behooves you less to play the game, and that was what Dougie has raised.
Exactly, and again, to Jeff's point, it's not that it has to be fair, because it's not.
Right.
You know, it isn't fair between Oklahoma State and whoever, because of T-Boo and Pickens or any other benefactors to their schools. But all things being equal with other members of the conference, where it all is. Yeah.
Let's go to Merle Jr. Merle, good morning. Welcome to the Joe Beaver Show.
Thank you for taking my call. I completely agree with Dougie and John about the level playing field thing. Because we're not on a level playing field right now, but as far as the conference goes, if that goes away, I don't want to play that game anymore.
Are you okay with playing it under the current uncertainty, two-year window to rebuild yourselves up? I mean, I hear you. You're saying you're talking down the road. If there's this Colorado State, Colorado gap, you don't want to be Colorado State, Colorado, Oregon State, Oregon, it sounds like. But are you okay with a potential announcement soon confirming a game at Reser next September?
And at Autzen the year after.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. You know, a previous caller said we might get a bigger payout. I would be surprised if that in this 2 year window is. I mean, that'd be nice, but I don't feel like that's going to be relevant, and that might make some people mad not getting a payout to go down there or to play the game in the current next two years.
Yeah, I agree with you, Merle, on that. There's no talk of it being like a paycheck game, just a game.
Does John report that it's a two-year agreement,
yes.
John?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and there's other things in here we can get to in between calls.
Anyway, Merle, thank you. What else is on your mind?
The other thing, one quick, with the portal, the only difference in what I texted is that a player can enter at any time outside the portal window, you know, the official window, December 4th that the NCAA has. They can enter at any time when their coach leaves. That doesn't mean they can transfer an additional time. You know, if they have three coaches leave, right? It doesn't mean they can transfer three times for free. That just means they can enter, but the rules still apply. Does that make sense?
I'm not sure. What do you mean they can enter?
What would be an example?
Yeah, what's the example? I mean, what does it do for you if you enter but can't transfer? What does that mean?
Well, no, you can still transfer, but you have to go through the waiver process that I described.
I got you.
If you're doing it for a second
time. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So my other point is, you know, I expected Velling to leave, to be honest. I think he had a great relationship with Wozniak, and that just is what it is. I would be shocked if he didn't go to Michigan State.
Yep.
But my bigger thing that I'm kind of narrowing in on, one, you know, we still don't have the schedule. It's been reported, and the comments that I've heard, you know, Bray was on Canzano a few days ago, and he asked him about the schedule, and Bray definitely doesn't have very much info based on what he said. And I think even Sarah mentioned yesterday, we're still waiting to see who the opponents would be.
Yes.
And then when I hear Barnes say, "Oh, the ink's drying." I'm like, "Well, then, how do you not know who the opponents are going to be if the ink is theoretically drying?" You know, and my concern with the schedule is, one, season ticket renewals, but two, recruiting wise. I mean, that's a huge thing to be able to that Bray needs to share with recruits of, "Oh, hey, I'm getting you from California, and maybe your parents can't afford to travel every single week to Oregon. But don't worry, we're playing two games down here at San Jose State and San Diego State."
I agree.
I mean, that's a huge thing, and we don't have that.
Yeah.
So that's a huge, honestly, like, handcuff for Bray. And that leads to I'm really curious what our style of offense is going to be. We know what the defense is going to do, but the style of offense. And when I say that, I think Jonathan had the unique pro style that he could recruit players to,
yes,
that they knew that they were going to play in that offense.
Yes.
And that's why we were able to get some upper echelon talent. I mean, Mike had the same, Riley had the same offense, obviously, but I don't really remember getting anybody remotely close to Aiden Child's level of a recruit to come with that talent level. And that's where the biggest thing for me is, hey, we need to figure out what our offensive style is going to be, because I do think that matters. You know, you saw Leach do it at Wazoo. He got talent there because they knew they were going to play in the air raid. If we go kind of this spread style that everybody else is doing, I mean, we tried that with Gary, right? It didn't work for us because everybody's running the spread. We didn't have anything specific to recruit to that differentiated us, because we're already behind in these other aspects with NIL and just Corvallis in general. Yeah, a nice place, obviously, but it's not, you know, the Bay Area, right? So I think that's the biggest thing I'm looking for when Gundy kind of, and I'd love for you guys, I'm sure you're trying to get Gundy on and he's really busy, but that's the biggest thing I'm looking for from that offensive side of really, what are you going to recruit to at Oregon State? You know, I've heard Bray say, "Hey, yeah, our continuity, our culture," you know, which I totally am on board with and believe in. But I think specifically, if you want to compete on the offensive side of the ball, we need athletes that we've had in the past.
And that kind of brings me to my only sad part about this last season offensively is that we had two players on the outside in Gould and Bolden, and we did not get them the ball enough in space. Like, that's just matter of fact. They were two, I mean, they're like a James Rogers, Brandon Cooks-esque athleticism. And it seems like we could have gotten them the ball a lot more in a lot easier ways. And we didn't do that. And I'm not sure why. Mm-hmm. I'd love to hear from our previous coaching staff why, but I'm hoping that with Gundy having that, you know, Chip Kelly background,
yes,
in the spread, you know, get the ball out to playmakers, that's what happens. Because if Bolden stays another year in our program, he has the ability to be an all-time great. I really believe that in all-purpose touches everything on the outside. I mean, you saw against Utah, we got him the ball a few times, and a guy's not in the backfield, he's housing it.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we had those little guys on the outside that I really do think are, you know, 10-year, once-in-a-decade players. Not once-in-a-generation players, but once-in-a-decade players. And I feel they are super underutilized. So, anyways, that's all I got for today, but I'm just still got to get the schedule out, you know, and just some of the comments that I've heard. When I hear ink drawing, but then I hear the, you know, senior, whatever Sarah's position is, dang, well, we're still trying to find the opponents. And then when I hear Bray kind of not acting clueless, he wasn't acting like that. He was just being honest of, well, we don't know who we're going to play. You know, mm-hmm. I think we're going to play this model, but we don't know who we're going to play.
Well,
just from a recruiting side,
yeah.
I think this is going to be a key year, portal, all that,
yes.
You know. In salvaging something to have some talent next year, including at the QB position. So that's all I got. I am excited for Ben in the bowl game. I think he's going to be great. I'm excited. I think the team's going to rally
around
him, and that's going to be a great sight. So anyways, thanks guys.
Thanks, Marl.
I don't want to speak for Sarah, but I took it as to mean they weren't sure which Mountain West teams were lined up. In other words, they know it's six, or is it? Yeah, they know it's six, but they haven't gotten to the point of figuring out which six. Is that what she meant?
Essentially, yeah.
Not. I think Merle. Not. We don't know who we're playing. Meaning, we're playing Mountain West, but we're not sure which one of those.
Well, it's the same thing as saying we don't know who we're playing. If that's the case,
well, you but you
six
know
games, but who are the six? Is it San Diego State?
Right, and
is
that's
it Colorado
very,
State.
And that's very
is
important.
It Wyoming?
So, but it's not. I don't think it was, we don't know who we're playing for the whole schedule. I don't know that it matters because it's there. You know, it's six Mountain West schools.
Yeah. You know, I'm with everybody who wants to know who they are.
Yeah.
I get it. But until you can, you can't.
Well,
if that makes
and
any sense.
I agree. And we've got a lot of text thoughts on playing Oregon and things like
okay.
that. Real quickly, though, before we go to our last break, the Canzano article essentially said a lot of things about Oregon, Oregon State. They'll continue at least for the next 2 years, 24 and 25, here and there. They're shooting for, in other words, sources have told him
yes.
the Beavers are shooting for seven home games, which is great. You never get that.
Yeah.
Seven home games, which they'll package and try to sell to a media rights. Which
it's
go to Apple.
Go, let's go. Yeah, I mean, you're doing everything you possibly can.
Yeah.
To survive.
And then the entity could be ahead of the game and go, hey, we've got all these games. It'd be like Oregon State having their own NBC like Notre Dame does. Up for about
let's get Notre Dame in here.
0.0% less money.
If we beat Notre Dame in the Sun Bowl, they'll never want to play us again. Hey, well, let's take a break. 497-5356. Any thoughts on the text line, the phone line? We'll get back to open phones and your thoughts about all of the above and what Merle Jr. mentioned. And yes, I too am very intrigued by Gunderson and what his approach will be.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's been under Chip Kelly, but he's been with Brent Brennan. I do think attacking the perimeter has been a bigger part of the deal. Could have, should have been here. But when you have DTR and Zach Charbonnet and people like that doing some of that stuff, the Beavers have a great running back, a la Charbonnet and Damian. As that all plays itself out too, but the quarterback, Ben is not that kind of guy. So you know, we'll see what happens in that quarterback room going forward in terms of what the offense is going to look like. We come back after this on the Joe Beaver Show, Joe Radio.
I'd say that's a good that's a good get right there.
I think Angie will join us at 12:05 to deal with the latest. She's one of those, I said, I have guests. I have lines out. Angie will join us at 12:05 from Beaver Blitz. What do you got, Doc?
Sanjeev, I would rather play one or two money grab road games against teams like LSU, Florida State, Notre Dame than to ever play the Ducks again.
Okay.
Yes, the playing field has not been equal since Phil Knight, but the rich get richer and the poor continue to get left behind. I've been on board with all of Barnes' difficult decisions at this point, but this is where I would draw the line. While I would continue to root for Oregon State and listen to Mike's call on the radio, I would be done with season tickets and spending money on apparel. We cannot continue to enable the behavior if we want to take the powers that be to court, then go all in. Don't waste our time. That's from Sanjeev.
See, now that articulates a point of view, Sanjeev, that he's not alone in. What else you got on the text line?
Someone reacting to me saying it does matter in all caps. So that's shouting. We need to know the specifics on who we are playing, not the plan for getting the schedule. There's a difference between plan for getting the schedule, because that could mean you don't know any of the teams, versus, you know, you're getting six Mountain West, you know, you're getting Purdue, Washington State,
and now
and Oregon and, Idaho State. We know everybody except for two. It's all but two games. And those are going to be power four teams.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand what you're saying, too. I'm not fighting with anybody here. I'm totally not fighting. Let's see. That was from last year. I believe sometimes they go a year without texting. And I want to make sure if someone texts and they do it today, I want to get all of what they're trying to say. This one. Reading his article and assuming his info is correct, our schedule next year will include six Mountain West schools, Idaho State, Purdue, Washington State, Oregon. Oh, I didn't get a chance to tell you this. Cal and Virginia, there's talks about a home and home for the next 2 years with Cal. And then with lesser certainty, another Power Five or Power Four. And he says, I'm hearing Virginia is what is in the article.
Okay.
So just to clarify that, seven of the games at home, including Oregon on the 14th, that's from Steve in Dayton. Okay, he says, I believe they're waiting on the Mountain West to make their schedule to know the exact teams and locations, which is what I was talking about.
And the recent agreement, and we made Oregon State, as you heard, I'm sure, some of you, made the Jim Rome show today, at least mentioned, because he interviewed Sean Lewis, did Romy, the new head coach at San Diego State.
Yeah.
And it was a good interview. Yeah. I like Lewis. Yeah. I liked the line of questioning. Jim does a great job in that.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, he said, Sean, what's your reaction to the alliance with Oregon State and Washington State? And Sean Lewis played it well. He said, our players want to play at the highest level, so this is really exciting news for us. So good, just in terms of the imaging, that San Diego State's head coach says, we're playing up.
Right, right.
And you want to keep that idea there rather than Oregon State and Washington State are just kind of slipping down to the mountain. No, Sean Lewis is selling his recruits. We're going to play Oregon State and Washington State.
Right, and Dave from Tumwater made a really good point several weeks ago when he said, keep Oregon on the schedule, because if they continue to be Oregon and all of what they are, then you have them on your schedule. That's one more team.
Yes.
That you get extra bonus points for beating.
There you go. What else? Anything else on the University Honda text line before we wrap up the hour?
There is a ton, but I won't get to them all, but a couple of short ones. Recruiting against the Ducks for in-state kids. If you can't compete, it's a benefit to Oregon.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of along the lines of what Dougie was saying and I agreed with. Scott, first-time texter, with the Pac-12 Network's asset, why is there not talk of doing some kind of a direct-to-consumer pay-per-view or season package via the Pac-12 app? With seven home games, even a smaller audience of 1 million people at $5 could generate a good chunk of money, $5 per game. That's a great point.
Yes.
The only answer I would have to that, we got about 20 seconds, is that maybe that's a possibility on the table, but I don't think in the triage of all of this, I think that's lower on the list.
But I think there's people working on those very types of things and what, you know, John talked about being able to sell media rights to some of these games. Angie, coming up.
They're coming from everywhere.
Seems to be a great deal of traffic here for Country Road, it seems.
You blew your theater.
Corvallis, Oregon.
To see the total eclipse of the sun.
Hard to tell the nighttime from the day.
I'm talking about the sky, McIntyre.
Mike McIntyre and the Buffaloes are coming, amongst many others.
Need to be a great deal of traffic here for country road, I think.
Sight worth seeing. I know how you must feel.
Yes, but not everyone's on board.
And look at that sky.
You look at it.
But for everyone else, excitement is sky high for life in Corvallis.
The eyesore is amazing.
There seems to be a lot happening in it all the time.
If it's happening, you'll hear about it on the Joe Beaver Show.
I'm expecting something special from there. Keep your eyes skinned. I want reports.
Oh, you'll get reports, all right. The best reports on the Joe Beaver Show with John Warren and Mike Parker.
Nothing I can say, a total eclipse of the heart.
And away we go with the Joe Beaver Show on 1240 Joe Radio.
An open from 2017, the summer of the eclipse with Gary Anderson washed out of it there. The original open, the original version was Gary saying, well, we listened to Eclipse of the Heart and away we go.
Yeah, yeah.
And we had Gary saying, away we go. Well, away went Gary.
We took
so
that
away
out.
Went Gary and as part of that open.
But it's funny because he says Mike McIntyre and the Colorado Buffaloes. These are all nostalgic now.
Yeah, they're historical. Now, there's one open we won't hear maybe ever again or for a long time that's just been taken out of the rotation. I'll just say it's the one that dealt with nine,
yeah.
Because it hurts too much,
yeah.
And it's out.
Yeah.
It's out maybe forever. Some of you may say, yeah, I don't ever want to hear that again. I don't ever want to play organ. I don't want to hear that open again.
It's retrievable and
it's
saved,
yeah, we're not going to.
It's out of our minds.
It's out of the
hearts.
Rotation for a long time, maybe ever, maybe forever. However forever lasts, what's forever for? Michael Martin Murphy, sing it now. Let's go to Angie Machado
Wildfire.
From BeaverBlitz.com. Nothing really going on, but it's always nice to check in with our good friend Angie again. Angie, thanks for taking time. There's always something going on. It's a fire hose of daily information, a deluge of sorts, as we play our way through the atmospheric rivers here in the beautiful Beaver State. What's happening for you, Angie? What's captured your attention most today?
Yeah, today is more, it's portal stuff. It's transfer portal. You know, it's been a crazy week and a half, coaching, kind of talking about coaching stuff and Trent Bray rounding out his staff. And now it has transitioned totally to transfer portal, with Aiden Childs hitting the portal yesterday. Nick Bashel reported that Jack Belling is in the portal. I have not seen that officially in the portal yet, but, I had heard rumors about that one coming and potentially a couple more. So, Beaver Nation, just hold on. I wish I could say this is, not unusual, but honestly, across the landscape of college football, Oregon State is not alone with guys entering the portal.
No, of course not, Angie, but probably more attrition. I mean, yes, than the number that Hank put in his weekly release all year in terms of the Beavers having the fewest number of transfers in the portal or second fewest, however it was calculated. That's probably not going to hold because of the coaching transition. So you're saying to Beaver Nation, just kind of hang on for a while. Is that right? And we'll see where we sit at the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's still kind of the wild, wild west. And, yeah, I think the biggest part that stings for Beaver Nation now is just all the changes at once. Would we have seen guys enter the portal with the uncertainty even if, the previous staff had stuck around? Yes, but maybe not to the same degree. There's a lot of uncertainty. No schedule yet. New coaching staff, although, Trent Bray is a known commodity. A lot of guys and there's guys in people's ear. You get coaches and this is an interesting time in college football where a lot of people are trying to influence these young men and planting ideas in their head. And sometimes it works out. Sometimes the transfer portal is a great thing and guys find more playing time or they find what they're looking for. I hope for all the guys entering the portal that they do find that. And because I think what we've seen from some guys is the grass isn't always greener.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Angie Machado, BeaverBlitz.com, joining us here on the Joe Beaver Show. I have a question for both of you. I just thought of, we joke about these turbulent times and everything that's going on. NIL, portal, who's coming, who's going, staff, what's the schedule? At what point... Describe a situation where it's all done and we can relax now.
I don't think that exists. I don't think that's out there. You know, it is. It's just, it's kind of constant. You know, it used to be kind of a downtime. This is kind of the off season because signing day wasn't until February. You didn't have the portal. I made a tweet the other day that kind of part of me, my poor Chris, I don't even know when I'm going to have time to wrap my kids' presents. And I don't know. Part of me wants to be Buddy the Elf and you know, make Christmas cookies, and that can't happen.
Well, would it be, let's say sometime in January where the schedule's been announced, the portal window has closed because it's 30 days, the December 20th recruitment announcement's come and gone, and you're just lying in wait. Would that be a time? Or are we going to be stressed for the next 2 years because we don't know what happens in year number three?
No, well, I mean, this year, January is going to be exciting, I think, because there's still the National Signing Day in February, the first Wednesday in February. So I think this year we do see that one being a little more exciting because, you know, the past few years, the Beavs try to get all their signees in December, and then they focus on more walk-on type athletes for that February day. This is going to be some rebuilding going on, transfer portal and then prep. So I anticipate a couple more months. And, you know, yeah, without a conference home, I think a few more years of being stressed. But I don't know. There's all this talk about the ACC, and college football is changing so crazy fast.
Yeah.
I don't really know. I can say to the guys that are there that are still, you know, at Oregon State or wherever they happen to be is, The one thing that this does is it does open up opportunity.
Yes.
You know, let's say you're sitting on the depth chart and you're the number two guy, and all of a sudden there's this, you know, guys are leaving. That's a chance. You know, there's your chance you've been looking for, your window to make the most of it. So,
well, and we'll see that play out on December 29th. I mean, that's the first opportunity for guys to show what they could be for the future. And then, like you say, in January for upcoming spring ball, Angie Machado joining us. One other quick question. I noticed that at 24/7 Sports, I've been living and dying on that thing for the portal. Portals have stars because things change and it's a reevaluation. This is just a quick question. Did anything ever change when it comes to transfer guys joining a class, or are freshman classes still standalone on coming out of high school, not a class that would include transfers?
As far as ratings?
Yes.
At 24/7, they break it up. So you have your signing class, and then you have your portal class.
Yeah.
So you can combine the two. So you have like a composite, and then you have your freshman class ranking and your overall class ranking.
Got it.
Angie Machado joining us. Angie, what is Trent Bray's number one deal right now? Does he have staffers combing the portal? Is he still trying to hire staff? Is he trying to close on the December 20th signing date on guys and not lose a few more there? There have been some decommitments. What do you think are his and should be his biggest priorities right now?
Gosh, I was just talking with someone this morning about this. I do not envy Trent Bray or Scott Barnes right now. I mean, the number of jobs they have to do right now is unreal. If I'm, you know, Trent right now has his staff pretty much rounded out. I know they haven't all been announced yet, but I expect that to be in the coming days. But and we actually have the names that we're hearing in the lodge at Beaver Blitz. So it's a good solid group, but they're recruiting. The guys that are in place are recruiting. They're watching the portal. I do expect some visitors this weekend, so they'll be hosting some official visits from the portal and potentially some preps as well, some preps and JUCOs. So it is a busy time there. And then you're also, you know, you're talking to the guys you are trying to hold on to in the committed class that have been committed for some time. And it is a crazy time right now for Coach Bray.
In your conversations and your knowledge of the recruits, because what you do and have been done so well over, you know, a really good chunk of time getting to know these kids, what is Oregon State's situation? I guess you could even say Washington State. What is the situation that the Beavers are in and the Cougars looked upon by the high school recruits? The number of decommits was a lot smaller than I expected it to be.
Yeah, I mean, that could change. I mean, because a lot of these guys are taking official visits last weekend and this weekend. It's crazy because that's, you know, a lot of the other programs out there are using the fact that there's a couple things that I'm hearing. They're using the fact that Oregon State and Washington State don't have a conference, so you're not playing for a quote-unquote conference championship. So really, you know, if you go to Oregon State or Washington State, the only championship you can really play for is the national championship.
Mm-hmm.
They are using the, right now, a six-game Mountain West schedule, you know, as kind of the, you know, talking point against committing to the, you know, that program, that you're not going to be playing against the best competition.
Mm-hmm.
They're using the uncertainty of what TV, you know, where are you going to be playing your games, who's going to see you, the exposure card. And we can talk all you want about exposure, and the bottom line is NFL is going to find guys, you know, but these are the things that they're putting in, you know, putting out there and making kids think about.
And what are the counters when Trent or Gundy or Devan or whomever, coach, they're saying, what is the Oregon State counter to those sorts of things in the negative recruitment world?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, mm-hmm. and you just have to say, this is where we are right now, and this is the schedule we're hearing, you know, and I hope that Scott Barnes can get that all nailed down and buttoned up and get that out, because fans are having questions too. You know, I've talked to a lot of season ticket holders that are just like, I want to see what we're doing. But, you know, it's come build this thing or come rebuild it or continue it. You know, right now I think it's a continue this greatness that we've built. If more and more people go, then there's more opportunities. But, you know, it's a vision. It's selling a vision. It's selling the culture that you plan to build. And it's crazy. It's crazy times right now. I hope the country as a whole, or the whole NC2A, and I don't hold out a lot of hope, but I do hope that they can come up to something that helps this. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Well, it is. And when you say that, I want to get back to Trent and the staff for a moment, but a quick thought, Angie, from you on that, with the, apparently the NCAA got in front seeking, again, federal legislation about guardrails or some sort of standard whereby college sports can continue to be college sports and not just, you know, a glorified minor league or whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're asking for some sort of help from Congress for some sort of legislation to put up some guardrails and guidelines. Do you hold out any hope for that? Should we hope for that? What do you make of are you arguing for something along those lines?
I just don't know what good it's going to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we've had like discussions in the lodge talking about, well, maybe if you go in the portal, you can't accept NIL for a year. Okay, in theory, that sounds really great. But you know what happens then is it just goes back to the way it was years ago in the SEC, where it's just bags of cash.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think the guardrails, I don't know what you do. And honestly, this is worse than the NFL, because the NFL has salary cap rules.
Right.
And, you know, this is crazy. I mean, this is guys checking out each year, seeing what kind of offers they can get.
Yep.
And making more than, you know, some of the league minimum in NFL.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases. I mean, it is absolutely off the rails. And I don't know, you know, I saw something yesterday about the SEC and the Big Ten kind of going to like a different division, kind of a, you know, where money and they can pay these guys and then going, I don't know. I'm all for it. Like, if they want to, you know, keep spending to a whatever and let the rest of college football go back to some regionality and, and I'm not saying not have any kind of NIL. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, you know, if it's moving in that direction where the SEC and the Big Ten want to be kind of a farm league, maybe that's the move. Maybe let them do their thing and then let the rest of the country go back to some kind of a college football model.
You know, lost in all of this and all this discussion is about football is the other sports. You know, it's usually supposed to all be one big thing. So I think, aren't we getting to, it seems like, a separation of the two if they're going to do all these wacky things? Because you can't apply all this to softball and baseball and
volleyball.
Other things. Yeah, volleyball.
Well, and that's just, I mean, we could have a day-long discussion and probably still not even touch on things because it's such a big thing to try to wrap your head around. And I'm 48 years old, and I have trouble trying to, you know, reel it all in, because that's just it. All the other sports, though, need football to be funded. So,
right.
But then, I mean, I'm still surprised with NIL that we haven't seen more lawsuits, Title IX lawsuits, because the money's going to football players.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Quick question on this, and it's minor in all these scopes of things, but it's actually not. Has there been discussion in the lodge? Have you heard anything about maybe coming up with a rule or something that says if you make a certain amount of money as an NIL star, you got to give your scholarship back and pay for college on your own?
Yeah, I mean, there's talk of that. You know, there's so many things, and I don't know. I'm kind of one that I don't necessarily think more rules make things better, because I think then, or legislation, because I think then you're just piling rule on top of rule on top of rule. But I mean, my, and I've said this, I mean, like I said, I was a fundraiser at Oregon State Athletics, you know, 20 years ago. So, you know, I would love to see them go to some type of a tuition waiver for athletics. Maybe that's, and then that way you have your waiver through the university, and that's kind of their donation to the, to the university. And then it does free up some money NIL-wise. It, it frees up, you know, to our Beaver Nation. I know I'm missing stuff. It's kind of a more broad picture of what if. I know ASU used to do something like that. They may still do.
Interesting.
But it, that would, that, I mean, that's something I thought about. And this is just me kind of talking now, just thinking things out. But there's a lot of things. Like I said, I don't necessarily think legislation or more rules is the answer, but somebody's got to come up with, like, whether, and then I worry, too, about these young athletes making a lot of money. I hope people are counseling them on, you know, paying their quarterly taxes. They're 1099, so, you know, if they're not putting away a quarterly tax, that's a whole lot of money some of these kids are making that, you know, like I said, smarter people than me are working on this, but they're things that I think about at night.
There have been too many of those such things lately for all of us, it seems, Angie, for a long time now, and you've touched on many. Let's get to last in our last few minutes today, and we always appreciate your time. You say in the lodge, you've got names of the rounding out of the staff. So that's a nice incentive for people to subscribe to
Beaver
Blitz.
Pay to get in the lodge.
But is there anything, any sense, and maybe you could, if you want, and we want people to go to your site, sign up, and read those names, but do you like what you see, and do you feel like Trent's building a staff that, and the names we do know combined with who may be coming, what do you make of it?
Yeah, I do like it. I think there's a little bit of, you know, I think people are expecting complete home run hires and I, you know, like names, like huge names. And that's not going to be the case in a lot of situations. Because a guy isn't going to leave a power five, you know, wide receiver job to come take a wide receiver job at Oregon State. I mean, they're not because of the uncertainty. I do like some of the names. There are some young guys and then there's another Beaver. I will say, another Beaver looks to be coming back. A Beaver great. So that is something that I think Beaver fans should be excited about. And at the end of the day, the list that we have kind of penciled out in the lodge right now is it's a group of tireless young recruiters, guys that are going to hit the road and recruit like hell. So, sorry, I probably should have said that. Anyway, they're going to recruit like crazy. And
anything
I
goes.
Do like that. Yeah. You know, I like that part of the staff he's building. You know, Ryan Gunderson, Kyle DeVan, Trent Bray, these are guys that have been there. They've you know, given their blood, sweat, and tears. They want to be here, and they want to, you know, see this thing through. I think that is huge. And from what I'm hearing, these guys right now are working so tirelessly to not only keep the roster together, but go out and find guys to plug in. I think Beaver Nation should be proud of the work that's going on behind the scenes, from what I'm hearing, and just know that they're not sitting around having coffee. I mean, this is, they are... They are tirelessly working. So there are, like I said, don't expect to see Nick Saban's name on the list. Or, you know.
Nick Saban, but, defensive coordinator,
And I know there was some, you know, there was some disappointment with Brian Gunderson coming in as OC. There was a part of Beaver Nation that wanted some veteran OC. But, you know, when you stop and really look at it, a current sitting Power 5 OC that is really successful is not going to come laterally to Oregon State. So then you're looking at somebody that maybe needs to rehab his image or hasn't done well and is maybe looking for a job, or do you go with someone up and coming, you know, you know, that hasn't been an OC but is hungry and ready to go? I go back to Trent Bray, you know, Oregon State. Jonathan went with an experienced DC that had a lot of experience around the country. Didn't work out so well. He goes and hires a guy in Trent Bray who's never called a defensive game in his career, and it's worked out pretty well. So that's kind of where they're at right now.
Angie, you count me among the many whom you have taught right there, because I forgot about that whole thought about who's going to want to make a lateral move to an uncertain situation. So thank you for that. That'll help. Now, quick question. Are we basically to the point now where in all programs across the board, coaches will coach an area, not their position, and then forward to? Do you know if that's how Trent will do that as far as recruiting? So, in other words, Kyle DeVan as an offensive line coach might just recruit, let's say, Southern California and recruit for all positions versus, and I don't even know if anybody does this, a position coach recruiting only their position.
I don't know. I have not had a chance to ask Coach Bray about that. Typically you are going to have the primary recruiter, and this is the way most schools do it. You have a primary recruiter that focuses on an area, a geographical area, and then the secondary recruiter is the position coach. So you'll be using both of them because you want the relationship to be built with the position coach. But as far as you want one guy kind of going in and getting to know the coaches in the high school in the area and building those relationships.
Angie, last couple of things. Thank you so much, and I'm sure a lot has happened in the last 20 minutes that you'll be diligent to get to and have in the lodge. The two things. What's been the general reaction yet? I know it's early, but Canzano's report that the Civil War is still on, so to speak, at least for the next 2 years. What do your members, your subscribers, true Beaver believers through and through, what does your constituency make of that? Are they for it?
It's mixed. I'll say it's mixed. 4 months ago it was no. I mean, I'm resounding. Mm-hmm. Don't want to play. I think the thing that, and I was in that camp as well. Mm-hmm. Until Oregon State can land someplace where they have somewhat equal TV revenue and revenue. Mm-hmm. However, if you're building a schedule that already has six G5 programs,
right,
you need to build that strength of schedule as much as possible. So, in that regard, I think it's a positive, and it shows that you're playing some good competition. If you're going to have a couple, Oregon State will have Purdue and Oregon, so two Big Ten programs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not only do recruits want to see that, it goes toward that strength of schedule. And, people can laugh. I've had people laugh at me, but I know that Scott Barnes is working on a schedule that, A, Beavers can win, and B, it has a strength of schedule that could get them potentially into the CFP, with the expanded CFP. So, you have to look no further than Liberty, who's playing the Ducks in the Fiesta Bowl, to see that it can happen.
Hey, Ryan Gunderson as OC, what do we know? Yeah, people are asking, and Gundy's his own man. He's been under Brent and Chip Kelly. But do you have a sense or a feel? Is there an early buzz about what he'll want to do? He doesn't quite now on the Beavers roster have the quarterback that can run some of the DTR type stuff that Chip and Ryan were running. So what do you expect from him in this offense?
I'm with you, Mike. I don't know. I have not. And that is something I cannot wait to sit down with Gundy and just kind of hear about his philosophy. I do know when I interviewed Trent last Wednesday and asked him about his OC, he had said he wanted an innovative thinker who was going to run offense that he as a defensive coordinator struggles to defend.
Right.
So that, and I think at that point he had already kind of honed in on Gundy. So I'm anxious. Like I said, I do not want to bother those guys right now.
Right.
And try to set up an interview, but that is going to be the first one I think I try to set up is a sit down with Gunderson.
And yet this is where it becomes a bit of a conflict. Trent does really well defending run power oriented, offenses that are a little more run oriented with an offensive philosophy. I mean, he's done very well. Utah was a game, for example. I mean, and other teams where he shut them down. And what he struggled with, and what a lot of defenses struggle with here, and then Cam Ward up at Washington State, Noah Fafita down in Tucson late in that game. So he's saying, I want a guy who can run that kind of stuff. But Oregon State has built itself on the other side offensively, Angie, with the philosophy of we're run first, two, three tight ends, I formation, offset I, power run game. So can you have it both ways? Trent wants to play it all. You know what I'm asking you, don't you?
Yeah. No, and I know, and I think it's a conundrum. I do think you don't want to be gimmicky. So there's a fine line from being innovative and to being gimmicky. And so you want to be innovative, but yet you still want to appease guys that want to make it to the league. So you don't want to do anything that's too crazy out there. I do potentially, they don't really have the wide receivers right now to maybe go deep downfield. Maybe a little more hurry up, I could see. Maybe a little more option, zone option.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like I said, that is kind of my big question mark right now is what, you know, kind of what we're looking at there as far as, you know, running an offense. So, but the problem with like a true pro style too is it requires so many really good pieces.
Yes.
So that is what made Chip Kelly's offense at Oregon so good, is because if you had a really good option-y quick quarterback and a decent O-line, it didn't have to be a great O-line. It could be a decent O-line. You actually could do okay. But Oregon's, you know, when you're in a pro style, you need a good to great O-line. You need a good to great quarterback. You need good to great receivers. So it makes it tougher, I think, to really truly excel, you know, all
yeah.
across the board.
And, Angie, here's the problem. You have work to do. We've got to take a break and pay for what we're doing. But, I mean, we could talk forever about these types of things. You know, when you mentioned Chip, it, you know, I mean, when you've got guys like Masoli and Darren Thomas and then Mariota, those are elite, but the offensive line and the way he's evolved, his offense isn't like how he ran it then with what he did with DTR and Zach yeah. Charbonnet and so on. But do the Beavers need to be, and here's what a caller earlier, Merle Jr., called us and said, the Beavers had an identity that set them apart in our conference, that you could go there if you're DJU in the portal and say, here's what we do. I can get prepared for the next level. If you're kind of trying to be like everybody else, does that hurt you in terms of not having an offensive philosophy that Mike Riley recruited to that was somewhat different as college football offenses were evolving? And certainly what Jonathan and Mahalchik and Lindgren and so on built up was set apart in a sense. Can Gundy help? Can the Beavers maintain an identity offensively that's a little different?
Oh, I think so. I mean, as long as they don't go back to triple option Pettibone days.
But, yeah. yeah. Or whatever
but
Gary
no, that
was
is, You know what? I mean, like I said, we could talk all day.
Yeah.
Like I said, that is one of my first things of business is once these guys kind of can calm down a little bit, catch their breath, I'd love
right.
to sit down with Gundy and just pick his brain on what he sees. And maybe he evolves. Maybe he takes mm-hmm. his roster now and has a plan in place for this roster and then can start recruiting and evolving the offense.
Right.
A different way of going.
Yep. Angie, thank you so much. Back to work you go. Give us a quick pitch. You've teased, and it's a great tease because people can go and find names right now. So what's the best way for people to get signed up and find out who those names are in the lodge?
Go to beaverblitz.com, and it is our last day. We are running a transfer portal promo right now, so 60% off an annual subscription, or you can just jump on for a month and give us a try. So, beaverblitz.com.
Okay.
And yeah, it's been, in fact, I just had to cancel. I was supposed to go to the gym with a girlfriend and canceled that because of today.
Yeah,
so,
I understand.
It is tireless, guys. So,
yeah.
I tell you, we have a great staff and some good sources. So check us out.
Thanks for making
Thanks,
time
Angie.
For us, Angie. We'll talk again soon. That's Angie Machado, beaverblitz.com. So, as Romy said today, after he had Sean Lewis on, he went the route of as he often does. Lee Hacksaw Hamilton. Yeah. I want to hear from a Charger fan in Escondido reaction. He said reaction, and that was homage, mockery, whatever of the great Lee Hacksaw Hamilton mm-hmm. after Romy's interview. So I channel Lee. Rome and say to you, reaction. You know, what are your thoughts about what Angie just said? Did you all hear what Angie said? 497-5356. Any thoughts on any of the above on the Joe Beaver Show? There's Andy and Aaron Rodgers.
Andy and Mitchell.
Andy and Mitchell and Aaron Rodgers.
I was going to say, Merle texted, by the way, Andy from Mitchell is still processing everything at a darkness retreat in La Pine, which is, you know, a little jab towards Aaron Rodgers, but I get it. And then I thought, well, are they rivals on the radio show? And no, they're friends. They're friends, so it's all in jest.
Open phones and text 497-5356. It is a whirlwind of a time. It's exhausting in some ways, John. I mean, it just never, like you said, is there ever, no. Angie said, no. Will there be a time soon?
Think about what that time would be. What do you need personally?
Right.
It may vary for people. What do you need to think things have settled down?
A schedule and a staff.
Okay.
No, I know.
Yeah.
But
and you'll
then,
have that
then,
by January.
Then you've got the portal and you've got the early signing period
signing
and then
periods,
the next signing
portal.
Period, the national period
so
in
after
February.
February, spring ball.
Yeah, probably.
But then the angst will be, all right, okay, we've got this year figured out, probably next year figured out. What happens in year three? Or do you keep that? Or are you able to settle down for 2 years? Or is that going to be an anxious thing for 2 years?
Well, there's so much, like Angie said, in microcosm from day to day, and that's all we've got. As somebody, Scully one time on a broadcast said, well, they're saying that Pedro Guerrero is day to day. Aren't we all? I mean, that was his rejoinder to that. And he's right. So you're talking about what's going to happen in year three, and I bless you for it because you want to make sure that you're like, well, hey, here we are for 2 years. I don't, oh, wait, what do we do now?
Exactly.
The problem is, and I'm not saying that's a fair point to consider.
Yeah.
But Barnes and Company and everybody else, that's the big picture view, the long-term view is all in play here. And that's why the court case and the assets and moving forward and all of those things are paramount for him, for the leverage and discovery that perhaps he already has that he's alluded to indirectly.
As periods go, this is triage and then convalescing.
Right. That's a great analogy. Yeah. I mean, there's just so many things that... You know, like the TV deal and the pay-per-view type model and Apple TV back in the picture. And what do you do with that game on September 14th now?
But good leaders have ideas. Yes. They might find another really smart person and say, can you take care of this for us?
Right, exactly.
Go look at this TV deal, whatever it might be. Thank you. I got other things I got to do.
But Angie did say she, quote, wouldn't want to be Trent Bray and Scott Barnes now, citing those two men. With so many things on a plate and an agenda of things to do today. Well, that's a long, long list. Today, tomorrow, 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 and tomorrow, to coin a phrase. We have open phones at 497-5356 and text line. Reaction to Canzano's report. What do you make of it? Are you reconciled to it now? Angie said 4 months ago she wasn't. The traitorous 10. The treacherous 10. Your wretched 10, the 10, the departers. But now, if you need them, can they help you? Does this help build your brand and schedule up and that you can sell to recruits? We don't. That's now apparently close to being a known.
Yeah.
Even if we're still waiting for the fullness of the schedule to be ratified and announced, is this a bit of, in your world, even begrudgingly for you? Okay, I see why we're doing it. And yeah, I accept it now. I hated the thought of it.
Yeah.
But it makes sense now. Whatever your thoughts, we'd love to hear from you. 497-5356, the text line and phone line available. The Oracle of Tumwater, Dave from Tumwater, joins us. Dave, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. It's a tumultuous and... indeed, disconcerting at times, dispiriting times. And there's so much to talk about, so little time. And I know I tend to speak in paragraphs when you want someone to talk in sentences. But the news about the transfer portal, I said a week ago, who knows, was it whenever Coach Smith left, this is why you can't fall in love with coaches. And unfortunately, guys, it's also true with players. You can't get too attached to them because they're malleable. They may or may not be with you. And so you just have to be judicious in regard. But the one constant, and I'm not even sure this is the case, the one constant is the fans. Those are the people who are the most, by and large, the most reliable subset of the whole micro-universe of Oregon State University Athletics. Coaches come and go, the players come and go, but for the most part, the fans are always there. So I just wanted to get that out of the way first. I love the idea of 7 home games. It makes great business sense because now that you're, not literally, but now that the fans are locked into the stadium, you can't go out and party at halftime. It's important from a revenue vantage point to keep people in there. And the news on the scheduling front, I already professed, I already recanted an earlier statement about being opposed to playing Oregon. And by the way, I am opposed to calling it the Civil War, but I'm not opposed. I mean, It's certainly better to call it the Civil War than the stupid rivalry game nomenclature, which set my nerves off every time I heard someone refer to it as the rivalry game. But I'm in favor of playing the game, at least in the short term, the next 2 years, because it builds strength of schedule, it will help sell tickets, it'll fill the stadium, and it will lure a media partner into the Oregon State fold. Love the Cal and the University of Virginia talk. And by the way, I don't know if you guys watched the whole trial proceedings in Colfax in November, but at one juncture, the lawyer for the University of Washington, when he was trying to argue to the judge, well, Oregon State and Washington State are just like the rest of us. They're looking around for a place to go to. Now, why are they being holier than thou? He specifically cited an email from President Murphy to the president of the University of Virginia. So there's some connection there, and kudos to President Murphy for calling in a chit, if that's what it is, to help build the strength of schedule. Mm-hmm. But Cal and UVA guys, they are precisely the kind of schools that look good when you look at the season end results, when the stupid college football playoff board gets together. And I use the word stupid advisedly, and I hope there's time to come to that before my time is up here. A victory against a Cal of Virginia looks good, because you're only going to need 10 or 11 wins to be the 12th team mm-hmm. into the college football playoff. They look good in terms of strength of schedule, certainly better than Liberty's, who had no Power 5. But they're games you are likely to be competitive, if not favored to win in the short term. So, lastly, I don't know if you saw it, but the press conference for the Orange Bowl, Florida State and Georgia, it was canceled today. Guys, you might have heard, I think there's a serious doubt that the Orange Bowl is even played. And it's truly unfortunate, Mike, and I'm not chastising, I'm commiserating with you. It's truly unfortunate you can't get Drake Tolan. This guy has sources. And he was, in his podcast this morning, he was saying ESPN was going to lose upwards of $150 million in sponsorship and partnership agreements if there was not an SEC team in this year's college playoff. That's the kind of information that needs to be in greater circulation, like the fact that Herb Street and Lee Corso have personal services contracts with Nike. Have you ever wondered why those two guys like Oregon? Because Phil Knight's paying them to like Oregon. This is the kind of information detailed, thorough, investigative journalism gets into. Drake Toll's got great sources. You have got to get him on.
Hey, listen, Dave, you're probably right. I don't know how else to do it. I've had TJ on it. I've emailed Drake directly. He's not responded. So I don't know what else to do. You're right. I'm sure he's the great Drake Toll and the great man that you're describing him as. And you're right about his level of reporting and all of that. Dave, I don't know what else to say. I'm trying.
Well, that's good. And just to reinforce my own point, I had advertised, I'm not criticizing you. I'm commiserating with you. It's unfortunate we can't get him on the show, because this guy, he's a strategic thinker. He seems to have good contacts with Brett Yormark, or at least he can channel what Brett Yormark. And Yormark's thinking of beating SEC and the Big Ten by creating a national conference, like I was talking to you yesterday about, and Oregon State and Washington State will figure in that, as well as the Virginias and the Syracuses and the Pitt and schools of that. But I just want to remind everyone who's out there listening, and not that I need to remind the two of you, but when there were some people, not to name names, who were scoffing at the credibility of Drake Toll's source, some guy named Immaculate, saying that the Pac-2 were going to inherit a lot of money. I have in front of me, guys, the University of Washington's brief that was tendered to the Washington State Supreme Court. It's less than a mile from where I live.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just read it to you. So this is part of their brief where they're saying,
okay,
why are Oregon State and Washington State so insistent on getting current year revenue? I'm quoting from the brief. OSU and WSU can support their future plans with more than $200 million in guaranteed post-2024 revenue in the 2 years after the 10 schools depart. That's what the opposition in our lawsuit is stipulating before the Washington State Supreme Court. Where did we hear that first? Drake Toll, locked on Big 12. So I've had my brief, my own brief. Thanks for letting me vent. It is a tumultuous, dispiriting, and disconcerting time, but I'm glad I have you guys as an outlet to share what I hope is some considered critical.
Very good. No, it's very good stuff. If the University of Washington says that in their own brief, what is their motivation for saying, let's just say, for argument's sake, that they're right and it's true and that big windfall is going to come for the two schools to share? Is that them contending, thus we need to be taken care of and make sure that we get our proper distribution now? Or do they want a piece of that too?
No, the University of Washington is laying that out there before the Washington State Supreme Court because they're trying to immunize or insulate any potential loss of current year 2023-2024 revenue, which they fear is at risk if only Washington State and Oregon State are making financial decisions for the conference.
That's why they're
telling the court, you know, why are we fighting about who controls the conference? Those two are going to get over $100 million each the ensuing 2 years. And again, I'll reiterate, that is the opposing legal team.
Yes. Well, let's hope that's true.
Not our guys.
Hey, I got you. The last thing, Dave, and I appreciate that. There's good information, good stuff. Drake and Immaculate both, though, were given the 99% that the Beavs and Cougs will be absorbed into the Big 12. I don't hear that as much in everything you've just outlined. Or do you think that's the ultimate destination that your mark's up to, and it's just taking a little more time for the wheels to turn on that?
Exactly. They never put a timeline on it. They always said this is going to happen eventually in order to make this problem go away.
Okay.
They always caveated that assertion.
Yes.
But now because the ACC, it doesn't take great intuition. You can see, guys, the ACC is about to go through the Pac-12 existential crisis.
Right.
It's all in front of us.
Yeah.
It's plain as the nose on your face.
Right.
That conference is going to crash, and that opens up everything once again for realignment, including this notion of this super conference. And that's what your mark wants to get ahead of. He wants it to keep from being just the two. He wants what I would call the big Atlantic to Pacific conference,
right,
with 26 to 30 schools to be on the same level as the SEC and the Big Ten.
Rather than just let Washington State and Oregon State split up that $200+ million by themselves, right?
Whenever it might happen. But we've got a floor under us. The schedule's coming together. I know there's a lot of hand wringing. I do a lot of it myself. But as my constant refrain is, we got to let things play out. I like the shape of things. Let's commit to the game against Oregon for a couple of years, and then at that point, let's judge things. You will recall that even the Washington State-Washington agreement with the Apple Cup, that's not in perpetuity. Even that's just a five-year commitment.
Yeah, true. Great to hear. Hey, Dave, we're going to get sneak one more in here today. Great to hear from you. Thanks for the call. Let's go quickly to John before we take our final break. John, good afternoon.
Hello, gentlemen. Hey, one, I could care less if we play Oregon again. But anyway, that last caller, I'm not going to apologize, but I don't think you should be bad-mouthing you guys about your effort, because obviously you're covering this thing hell of a lot better than he is.
Well,
I
don't think he's bad-mouthing. He's not bad-mouthing. He's just saying that somebody he listens to on a regular basis, something, you know, and I've reached out to this Drake Toll, the Locked On Big 12 podcast, and it does sound like some valuable content that we'd love to kind of pick. Drake, I've reached out to Drake and emailed him personally and have not heard back. I don't know what more to do. I'd love to get him on sometime.
Yeah, and I have no doubt you guys are doing your best.
Appreciate that.
But anyway, I might have missed this, but is there any kind of talk about Martinez?
About who? Oh, what do you mean talk about him? In what sense?
Putting in the portal.
Well, John, I mean, nothing surprises me in life. really ever about anything, quite frankly.
No, but you're right.
I understand the question.
You're right. The question's good because everyone's going. But just take this. This is what I look at it with Damian, is that his conviction to play in the bowl game and all of that before
all of this,
the issue that he had, kind of speak, maybe, I'm hoping it speaks to his thoughts as well about staying with the team.
We just can't, my hope and belief is he continues to stay and continues to be a Beav and works his way through this and is back on the team in good standing next spring. That's my hope. But John, so when you say talk about it, I don't know anything more other than to say that.
Yeah.
There was one call earlier they were talking about style of offense and thinking back to Jerry Pettibone, going with the wishbone.
No one was saying anything about going back to that. Just as, the upshot being, as long as we don't go back to that.
Yeah, right.
No, but I do remember when Tim Alexander got in there for the first time against SC.
Yeah.
And just made that team look like a blur.
Yeah. I agree. It was beautiful to watch. I was at that game too. But SC did win the game, and that thing in the long run just it doesn't play or doesn't work at the level that I mean, it was beautiful to watch at times when Tim was running it and other quarterbacks at times. I mean, the thing is unbelievably beautiful, but
UCLA,
it's not sustainable.
It was great.
We got a break. John, anything else real quick?
No. Okay. Gentlemen, keep up the good work.
Thanks, John. Let's break on that note, wrap up the show for today on the Joe Beaver Show. That tops the other stuff,
I think,
the human element.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless you say, for argument's sake, that you're not that your schedule next year features Cal, Virginia, Oregon, Purdue, and Washington State, and then six Mountain West teams and one FCS. That's a good schedule, Johnny. That's a very good schedule.
It is, and I think Scott
would
have made that. Yeah. Obviously, we know that he's making the schedule, whatever it is, with it in mind to be able to be viable for the college football playoff, which expands to 12 next year. So the hand-wringing of what happened this year is going to be between 12 and 13, not 4 and 5. So that'll take that away. But, you know, the Beavers working their way through. Unless the college football world looks down at Oregon State and does not vote them in as far as top 25 throughout the year. Because I don't know how much it's influenced, but one has to think that there's some influence on how well you are doing and where you are in the polls at the time of the first college football playoff poll, which thankfully comes out long after the season starts. So do they get looked down upon? Just kind of as
a
default?
It's a good question. Yeah.
As a mental default to those voting, they don't have a conference anymore, rather than going, Purdue, Cal, Oregon, Washington State.
I think if you're winning those games, and particularly the one on September 14th, if indeed that's true, it's a report that it's happening.
And you wouldn't be in the top 25 if you weren't winning them.
No.
But again, there's a chance that they just, by default, and it's not fair, get looked down upon from voters who might normally have voted them higher, but maybe not, because we're out here, and I think they look down upon the West anyway.
Well, this is now the time, too. The six that you're going to get from the Mountain West added to, let's just say, for argument's sake, those five, that's a representative enough of enough schedule.
I think so.
That this is now kind of remember back when we had the caller who was mystified when we were talking about who we worried about at Washington getting the head coaching job.
Yeah.
And then when we were saying, well, he doesn't frighten me, or this guy. Yeah, and the caller said, don't you want Washington to be good? We kind of said, well, no, not really. But I almost understand now with Sean Lewis going to San Diego State, you kind of hope they're good and perceived as good because you want to beat teams that have a perception of being good.
That's why you want Oregon.
Well, we got through today. I think there's another day tomorrow. See you tomorrow. Bye.